Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Hey, Collider Live fans, Cody here, and by now you've likely heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From beloved classics like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame to a critically acclaimed documentaries like National Geographic's Free Solo, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. Disney Plus also offers some of the most beloved TV shows of all time, including 30 seasons of the Emmy Award-winning animated series The Simpsons. And if that weren't enough, Disney Plus has also rolled out a host of originals like The Mandalorian, the first-ever Star Wars live-action series, and High School Musical, The Series, a very meta take on the beloved film franchise. It's no wonder Disney Plus has become one of the most talked-about streaming services of 2019, so don't miss out. Sign up for Disney Plus now and start streaming all of this great content today.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game, so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the YouTubes. I'm Roxy Stryer, and it's been a little bit of a weird morning. I'm sitting across from the most evil, the most perfect, Darina.
The most perfect?
Yeah, you kind of are.
Not. No.
You always got it together, girl.
No, definitely not. But I'm glad people think so, I guess.
It seems that way.
Yeah, how you doing, lady?
I'm doing, as you said, here, aquí.
Exactamente.
That's how this morning is going. Mark Riley in the house.
Hello.
Wow, it's going to be one of those.
Hello there, Mark. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. We got some Superman news, so you know I'm happy.
We do.
Well, that's true. We didn't quite get a Man of Steel 2 announcement. Otherwise,
no.
It would be off the
I
walls.
I would be jumping off the walls.
Yeah.
But this is good. This is good. This is promising. We'll get into it.
Also, for the first time on Collider 2.0, also known as Vagina Live, here in the house, coming over from Satanic Panic and Memory, the Origins of Alien, it is Clark Wolf in the house!
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, Yeah.
The air horn. Cody doesn't do that for just anybody.
No.
Thanks, Cody.
Oh,
thanks,
that's
Cody.
Right, Cody.
Damn, she got three of them. What do I have to do?
Four. As long as she keeps dancing,
keep
we'll just
it.
Keep playing it.
I want one. Okay, ready? It's Roxy Stryer.
Wow.
You set that up beautifully.
Yeah,
you really did. Cody was waiting for that.
What happened, though?
At least he didn't fart on you, which is what he usually does to me.
So are you being serious?
Yeah, not like on me, but there you go.
Oh.
It's perfect for Fartgate today.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Clark, have you learned about Fartgate yet?
From the news.
Yes, from the news.
Yes, I watched.
I texted you guys at like 1 in the morning about Fartgate. I could not help myself. We're going to have to discuss. We don't usually talk poop and farts on this show anymore, not in the 2.0 iteration, but a lot of science going into this.
When it travels beyond politics and into a hashtag, we have to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. And who was – he was a direct representative of California, I think, is his name. But they were even saying that what was it? He's like, he is not a candidate that you can stand behind. There were so many good jokes. Very, very good.
That's really mean.
I know.
So funny.
Really
I hate when things like that happen. So we definitely will be breaking down Fartgate, getting to the real news here. But also Todd Lieberman, producer, is going to be joining us for the latter part of the show. I mean, what the hell, Cody? I mean, yes, he's deserved the air horns, but come on. We've worked together. You haven't even met the guy yet, and he gets air horns.
I'm just in a good mood today.
Oh, what happened, Cody?
Nothing. Oh. You know, it took me almost 2 hours to get here. I'm trying to forget that.
Cody, 2 hour traffic.
Two hours?
Damn.
Where do you come from? Or was it a baby thing?
A little bit of both. But I live in San Dimas, so that's pretty far.
Yeah, that is far.
Jeez, I don't know what that is.
San Dimas? It's where Bill and Ted's takes place.
Is that the place that you breastfeed until you're four and they walk around with the milk?
At the Circle K.
Yeah.
We learned that I don't know much about having children yesterday.
I
actually Instagram storied, in case you guys didn't see, that somebody after yesterday's show said that Thanos makes a better parent than I do, which was...
That's actually kind of funny.
Kind of clever. Can't even really be mad at it.
That's pretty funny.
No, Riley? You don't dig that one?
They're not wrong.
Clark's face. She's like, what did I get myself into?
Welcome to the new iteration of Collider Live, Clark.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We threw you right in on this one.
That's okay.
Question for you. That shirt, that number mean anything to you?
Nope.
I like it anyway. Yeah, that's the show. She said no.
No, just comfy.
But we haven't seen you in a while. How you been?
I know.
We miss you.
I miss you guys, too. I've been doing really well. Things are good. It's been a busy year and a crazy summer, but I can't believe the year is almost over.
I know.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It is wild.
Time is a human construct, lady. Remember that.
And a flat circle.
Yeah.
The earth is round. I've learned that one, guys. Full sphere. It's not just flat anymore.
I thought it was.
It goes across and down.
Got it.
I really do feel like we are in April.
I know.
Like, we've made it to April. We still have the summer coming. It's about to get sunny out. The days are about to get longer. That's where I am mentally right now.
Well,
it's just not the way it works, though.
Nope.
But you have a ton of stuff you've been working on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm still over at DC Daily, which is streaming on the DC Universe platform. I would love to tell the audience that while DC Universe is, a streaming platform which, that requires, a subscription, our show, DC Daily, is in front of the paywall.
Which is amazing.
For free.
Yeah.
So if you guys have been curious what me and Sam Levine and Hector Navarro and Amy Dallin and Whitney Moore and Sam Humphries are up to. Please watch the show. It's super, super fun. We have a great time doing it. And then Satanic Panic came out in the fall. Yeah. From director. Thank you.
They showed it at Fantastic Fest.
No.
Did they not?
I don't think so, because it was already out.
Why did I see it at Fantastic Fest?
Because it's everywhere.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
You had a private screening just for you.
Well, no, I didn't see it there, but I feel like I saw that it was playing there.
Well, Fangoria was there with their new movie. And the Satanic Panic was produced by Fangoria and CineState, so maybe that's why. But, yeah, I have a quick cameo in it. Chelsea Stardust is the director, and it's such a fun, wild – even if you're not a horror fan, I think you will enjoy it because it is a comedy. It is – and Rebecca Romijn plays a satanic coven leader, and she is wild, and Jerry O'Connell is in it as well, and he is – hilarious. So it's really, really fun.
Sounds what's like Mike Riley. Movie.
Was that like, why was I not invited to see this movie it's, or what happened?
How
there?
Can you ask for anything
I
more?
Know. Right?
It's Rebecca Romijn and then, well, and Jerry O'Connell, Scream 2's Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, indeed.
Come on.
Stand By Me.
Fantastic. That's just a fantastic. That's a fantastic update, and I need to see this.
Yeah, you will love it.
Where
it's really
do people
fun.
See it?
You can rent it, buy it on the internet from iTunes or Amazon. If you're into physical media, this is a fun story.
I like it already.
So Walmart refused to carry the movie with its title Satanic Panic.
Jesus.
So there is a slipcover that says Panic, and then you take it off and it says Satanic Panic like the regular thing.
At Walmart.
But here's what's hilarious to me. The pentagram, right, which is front and center in the poster, still totally on
totally
the
fine.
Sleeve.
What's the logic? Any idea?
Just can't talk about Satan.
No.
No,
you
Satan.
You can sell guns, but Satan.
Yeah,
didn't.
you could do that. You can sell guns. Yeah. But no Satan.
Which is it's just that's always funny to me that people are worried about either the pentagram or just Satan in general when like the Satanic Church is like actually really cool.
It's a weird thing. But like, now we have like a fun women. Corrector or a collector's item. So
yeah, this exactly. is such a stupid comment, I guess. But it's a movie,
right?
You're not selling Satan himself. It's a movie.
I don't pretend.
And the content of the movie is still the same.
Oh yeah, you just can't
you didn't have to delete any scenes.
No, can't have Satan in the title though. Apparently,
I like how every time you say the word Satan.
Satan.
Like I don't even say it
anymore. I'm from the South, Satanic. So I'm Satan. Satan.
Where are you? Where did you grow up?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what. So you can do that little accent every so often it comes out.
Yes, ma'am.
I love it,
especially when I'm drinking.
Yeah,
too.
Yes, I have noticed that. When we hang
yes,
out at Comic-Con,
yes, that's right.
It comes out.
It
and
sure
I love
does.
It because I learned the Californian accent when I moved to the U.S. Uh-huh. So I love those accents because I can't do them for shit.
Why did you kick it?
The accent?
Yeah, did you mean to or not mean to?
I'm actually from like the Orange County of Atlanta. So nobody in my family actually, nobody in my family has an accent. But there are things that you pick up just even in ever so slightly. Y'all was a big one when I first moved here. People could spot the y'all from a mile away and they were like, oh, you're not from here.
Strangely enough, when I moved to LA, y'all started coming into my vocab.
It might be because when I say it, I say y'all, not y'all. And I think there's a difference. Like, I think people can tell when you're actually, you know.
Southern?
Yeah. Because you drop one of the L's.
Yeah.
Y'all.
I also have an English question. Why is it Southern and not Southern? Because it's South.
Oh, great question.
It makes no sense. Your guys' language is so weird.
Yeah.
You wish that it was Southern?
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't wish, but it's not. It doesn't make sense. Why is it South?
Let's ask our expert, Cody. Cody? Thoughts?
I got nothing on this.
But you don't know either, right? It makes
I have
no
absolutely
sense.
No clue.
Exactly.
The English language is...
It's just a mess.
We can say it that way if you want.
Okay. Southern. Can you guys start saying it?
Southern.
Well, yeah. If nice I have Southern to guess, accent. How great is it when somebody says Southern? It wouldn't be as cool if they said Southern.
No.
Right?
No, but I just...
So maybe they sounded like it that. Out and they're like, what's cuter? Because we're from the South.
That's how English was invented, actually. Honestly, Roxy, what's cuter? That's
sure.
How people started speaking.
You laugh, but I have informed you all things about Hooters recently. Trust
that's
me
true.
With my research.
Did
I know,
you know about this, Clark?
About Hooters?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
boy.
In general?
No.
That
here
they de-radicalize terrorists, apparently.
This is a real thing, guys. This is, this is a real thing that I taught everybody yesterday. And I can't believe how little hate I got for this. I appreciate you guys. At home, thank you, Collider Live fans. You're the best. Hooters does a lot of good for the world. That's straight up true because they – when a lot of times terrorists will come here and they go and they live like the lifestyle of Americans, Hooters is one of the first stops. They want to go to somewhere like Hooters. And people there are so friendly and so beautiful and kind and the wings and the whole lifestyle. Like Hooters – there's been articles written on this about how Hooters – is helpful when there are people who come to our country who have less than favorable feelings about here.
I need to see these articles.
I will send you some stuff. Please send me your sources.
Because you kind
of sourcing on this.
But don't you believe it a little bit?
No, I don't know. I'm excited to read about it. I do believe it. I do. Because if ever there was going to be somebody who's going to be like, you know what? Those Americans, they're not so bad.
It's at Hooters.
I could see that.
You can't be too mad at it.
I could see that.
You just can't. So we do have a lot of news going on today.
We do. We do.
What was that point?
Well, we have
a cool guy point.
We have a cool guy point. We have a special guest coming in right now.
Oh, before we get to the news?
Before we get to the news, we want to introduce Martha from The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a Batman v Superman.
She's coming in right now.
Hello.
Oh, a Martha.
A Martha from Handmaid's Tale.
A real life Martha.
Welcome, Martha.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Oh, my gosh.
You can stay with us forever. Don't go back. Don't go back. We've got you.
Yeah, we
need muffins. Blessed be the fruit.
Blessed be the fruit,
child. May the Lord open.
Guys, I have a message for you. You know, I was thinking about what Beth said, you know, the Martha with Commander Lawrence. And, you know, I'm in. Gilead is no place for a child, and we need to do our best to get as many children out. Do you guys know what the muffins mean?
Yes. Yes, I do know what the muffins mean.
Yes, she understands.
Yes, I understand. We need more muffins in this room, though.
How many muffins can we get?
We'll get you as many muffins as possible. Perfect. We need to do our part for the resistance, but can I leave these here for June?
They are safe for June. We will give them to June. Guys, I'm part of the resistance. I'm freaking out a little
bit. I love this.
Under his eye.
Thank you, Martha.
Very much. Martha, thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Season 3 available now on Blu-ray for The Handmaid's Tale. So thank you very much, Martha, for
just so you guys know,
There's a lot of muffins in here.
I've talked about this on TV Talk time and time again. It's one of my favorite shows on television. Mm. It's not for the faint-hearted. It is a really tough show to watch because of some of the similarities that sometimes go on with today's society and this, or just if you're afraid of where we might be going. But the show is incredible. It's so well done. The best performances that are on TV. And guys, what the muffins mean is that we are helping get kids to safety. So we did that.
Yeah.
I know you were worried.
Oh, God. You're like, what are we supporting here?
Also, they smell really good.
They really do. For the audience at home who cannot smell these muffins, they smell amazing.
Okay. Can I eat it?
I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
Are we going to turn into Martha's?
Didn't we think that they were going to be fake muffins?
No.
It's like, of course not.
I'm so glad I got to share this
because that would be such a horrible promotion if they were trying to be like, oh, we're doing, you know, please promote our show. Here are some fake muffins.
Well, use your plastic muffin.
Yeah. Us came in, they gave me fake scissors. I've tried to use those scissors 1,000 times. They don't cut anything.
I don't know where these are from, but they're good.
Okay. I'll definitely try one of those.
Just an aside, do you think Josh McCuga would have been scared at that?
Probably.
Yes.
But he's scared of everything.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah. He's not as afraid of reality. I'm afraid of reality. You guys know that. The things that scare me are actually that kind of thing. So I'm telling you guys, if you can do it, if you can stomach it, watch Handmaid's Tale. This last season was – guys, we're getting there. We're getting there. But we're making moves this season. Like, we were fighting back a little bit, and we need that.
Yeah.
We need to fight back. But we do have more news that we want to talk about today.
Right.
Mark Riley, what is going on in the world of the interwebs?
Well, let's start with some Carrie Fisher news. J.J. Abrams has recently revealed that – even though we lost Carrie, it did not change the story for Rise of Skywalker for what they were going to use, and that they've done some things that – I'm going to pull up the actual article because it makes me think that we actually are going to get a little bit of kind of mocap kind of acting from somebody that could be Carrie Fisher or Princess Leia. He said there's our scenes where she's interacting with other characters in a way that is uncanny. Hopefully, if it works, it will be an invisible thing. And if you didn't know, you would never know. But we got to tell the story with Leia that we would have told had Carrie lived. And that's kind of incredible.
It's uncanny how much the mocap looks like Carrie Fisher. Or what's the uncanny part?
I'm reading into
it. Like Uncanny Valley.
That's what I'm going with.
I It sounds to me like what he's saying is whatever footage they shot, whatever dialogue they shot, they were able to fit in seamlessly to the plot of Rise of Skywalker, unless that they had a person sort of like that. That's what how I'm reading it, at least.
I was reading it a little bit differently. I was reading it like maybe they did do some effects to kind of – maybe they had a body double and they did something. But yes, the full-on you know, front looks – and dialogue, I think, is her from unused footage. But it'd be interesting to see, because if he's not changing the story because of losing her, then that's very interesting. It makes me think that they had more footage than we were led on to believe.
Drina, what do you think? Do you think that they are just saying this now? JJ is just saying that the story hasn't changed because there's no point in telling fans that the story had to change? Or do you think the story actually didn't change and they were able to tell it the exact way that they were planning on when Carrie Fisher was alive?
I think Star Wars fandom is crazy, and so some of these people are just like, oh, it's fine, guys. Don't worry about it. Like, everything they come out and say, I feel like, is to calm down people, even though it doesn't matter what you say, it blows up. It seems like the smart thing to do would be originally what I thought they were going to do, which is have her be in the movie with the scenes that were already shot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I still don't think that they – as we've had the discussion or fight about James Dean, I still don't think they should use dead people in that regards. Like, I know this is for the story's purposes.
You don't think they should CGI people who have passed?
No, I don't.
Including Carrie Fisher.
I mean, it's my opinion. Like, if people think that's fine, whatever. But I just feel like you're not honoring her memory. But I could be wrong. I could watch it and they could do something that actually blows my mind, and they do it in a very beautiful way. I have no idea, right? We can't really have the opinion until we see it.
Clark,
right.
How do you feel about that? Do you think that they should be able to CGI or mocap however they do Carrie Fisher, or that's not appropriate?
Well, I mean, I think if they're using footage that already existed and they're able to shoot around and make it make sense, I think that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But I do not think that you should be able to recreate a from, you know, computer technology, basically recreate a person like the James Dean example. Like, I think that that's really, really scary. And I hope that actors going forward start putting that in their contracts. They better, you know, because it feels gross, but also it doesn't look right, like when they did it in Rogue One.
Yeah.
I thought it looked awful, like, but legit bad
for both Carrie and Peter Cushing.
Both, yeah, I thought looked bad. But Peter Cushing is more, they recreated him,
right? Yeah. But it's what's interesting to me about Rogue One, and I've seen it with other movies where they either DH people or they do CG. It's funny that other friends didn't even know it wasn't Peter Cushing. Like, I guess they're not huge Star Wars fans, but they just thought it was a person. And I'm like, it was clearly a video game to me. That's what's so bizarre.
My mother thought Peter Cushing was alive. She's like, oh, they got the actor back who played in the original movie. And I said, well, that was all digital. And she went, what? And I said, well, Peter Cushing is no longer with us.
And how did she feel about it when you told her that?
She was amazed that she was fooled.
Amazed in a good way?
In a good way.
She thought that it was fine that they had done that.
Yeah, but this is also the woman that thought this was the sequel to Force Awakens and Rey looked very different. So you know what? Your guess is as good as mine. I kind of wanted to end the conversation because it was a lot of questions coming at me that I really didn't have time to answer with my mother. God bless her.
I don't think I've ever heard that. She thought that it was a legit sequel.
She legit thought it was a sequel to Force Awakens, and she went, Rey looks really different.
Yeah, it's like
Rey does look very different. Because it is not the same person.
Well, I did say it was Jyn Erso, and she went, who? And I went, okay, it's Felicity Jones. She's in she's Theory About Everything, blah, blah, blah. You know her, and it's a different story, Mom. It takes place before A New Hope, and that's when I lost her. She's like, I just want to see a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Well, that's most people. Yeah. We're just the losers that keep talking about it.
Carrie Fisher's daughter is involved in one of the scenes that we've seen or that they've talked about, that they're doing it together. Does it make you guys feel any different that they probably have her consent to do all of the things that they're doing with her mom?
The thing is, she was in the middle of a trilogy of movies when she passed away. So I don't think that this is the same thing. thing. Like, not even close. I think that it's if in 20 years they go to Billie Lourd and ask her, can we use your mom's image to redo, like, to do a side Leia story, I think that's weird.
Right.
But even if Billie Lourd says yes.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's weird.
Yeah, but like you said, right, like now actors should be having those things in their contract because some people might not care. Like Roxy's like, she's like, CG me everywhere when I'm dead.
When I'm dead. I want you to put me in every single movie that you possibly can. In fact, I'm putting it on you guys here today that if something happens to me, you guarantee me I'm in at least 5 movies next year.
Cody, sure. Can we please get
just
Frank
sign your
to
life right away right here?
Can we get Frank to deep fake Roxy's face into all our faces for the show?
I'm on it.
Yes, that's what I want. And I've heard from the internet that I'm an anomaly. Surprise, surprise. But, like, that's how I feel.
But, hey, you know, it's interesting to think about the deepfake stuff, too, because for that purpose, you're using it for, like, parody, right? So is it only dead celebrities that should be not deepfaked? Like, how do you guys feel about that?
I don't think anybody should be deepfaked.
But it's already happening.
I know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's... very bad.
We're going to buy hologram celebrities at some point to hang out with.
Well,
it's crazy.
It's going to cause a lot of trouble.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. That company, we talked about it a lot. I mean, they keep bringing up other dead celebrities that they want to make movies around, and that scares me. I don't like that at all. And I think it's going to be something that we mention it. If you're an actor now, you might have to put stuff in your contract for when you pass on.
I think that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Put it in your contract.
Yeah.
And if this is something we do moving forward and some people want it and some people don't, give it to the people who want it.
Yeah,
and don't to the people who
put
don't.
Put it in your contract that if they use your likeness after your death, that your estate is entitled to compensation. Like, I mean, just as long as I think the person in question has agency, that's like the most, I think that's the most important thing.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Exactly. Because it's somebody that's dead doesn't, like, they can't say whether or not they like it. That's why I feel shitty about it. Like, I wouldn't want to make a decision for somebody that's dead unless I can do a seance and communicate with them, which I'm trying very hard. If anybody has any tips out there, please let me know.
I haven't been invited to a single seance of yours so
far.
Well,
you're invited to my next one.
If anybody can do it, Darina, it's you. So I have faith in you.
Mark, what else you got for us?
Well, you want to talk about some Superman?
Because, I really, really do.
Because
I really do.
This driving in this morning, I went, wait, what? Wait, what?
This is crazy.
This...
Mark, what's happening?
Okay, so Henry Cavill is doing some press for the Witcher series that he's doing. And now, of course, Superman came up. He's speaking with Men's Health. And he revealed that he's not done with playing Superman,
at
least for now.
Can you read his exact quote?
Here it is.
This is what really got me.
He said, "The cape is in the closet. It's still mine. I've not given up on the role. There's a lot I have to give for Superman yet. A lot of storytelling to do. A lot of real, true depth to the honesty of the character I want to get into. I want to reflect the comic books. That's important to me. There's a lot of justice to be done for Superman. The status is you'll see." Oh, Jesus.
Mustache
Why do you start the movie with that?
Mustache game
aside.
Can I tell you?
Every time. This is what you're leading with?
Before we get into anything serious, can I just say that I want, like, a Ryan Murphy People versus OJ style docu-series about Mustache Gate.
Yes.
Like, I want a serious dramatization. Because, you know, when I finally saw the Mission Impossible movie, I will not lie to you, I sat there watching being like, so does he need this mustache? Is this mustache going to be important? Why do we need this mustache?
I don't know.
Because they can.
It's hilarious. It is hilarious to me.
It is the funniest, dumbest thing that's ever happened in movie history.
It goes
it's so weird.
Fartgate, Deflategate, Mustache
totally.
Gate.
Mustache Gate
tops all the
games. Endlessly funny to me.
It's so good. But I agree with you with the word funny, Clark, because it doesn't make me angry.
No.
I don't feel like throwing things. I'm not going to go to the internet and say that the whole movie sucked because of Mustache Gate. It's just kind of funny because we are let in on that as fans. It's not like they tried to hide it from us. We know what happened. We understand. So it's funny. It's funny. It looks like
it did not look
that.
Good. It did not
it
look good.
It wasn't the best looking thing that they've done.
Good.
It's not good. You know, like Henry Cavill, whatever you think of him in his role, I loved Man of Steel unlike other people. But I think he looks unlike other people right here, Clark and Roxy. Mark, you're right about Man of Steel. But look at him. He is a gorgeous looking Greek god. He looks like Superman. And look at what it did to his face.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you can destroy that face no matter how hard you try. He's a very handsome man.
And they tried really hard.
Let's talk about the good stuff here, guys. Yeah. Because, Mark, you've been dying for a Man of Steel 2.
Yes.
I think everybody wanted to see Henry Cavill come back in some capacity. And today he's confirming that he is not done with the role. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a Superman movie on the slate in the future. Nothing that we know of right now. But he is saying, listen, to all the rumors out there that I'm not Superman, it's nobody else. It's me.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that, Mark?
I mean, are you kidding me? This is great. And I agree with everything he says. And if he is saying this, then there's got to be still some negotiations behind the scenes. There has to be something that Henry Cavill is going to Warner Brothers and is saying, listen, if he's saying this kind of stuff about he wants to honor the comics, he wants to explore the true depths and honesty of the character, this is some passionate shit here.
Yes,
so he's talking to Warner Brothers right now, and he's saying, listen, motherfuckers, I got the cape in the closet. I still want to do this. So why aren't they listening to him? Because it's Superman.
You think this was a quote?
Guess what, Roxy?
I'm the only one to still not get air horns today. You think this was a quote that really meant, dear Warner Brothers, etc.?
Absolutely. He is talking to Warner Brothers right now.
Clark, what do you think?
So I have two things to say. The first thing is that, you know, wherever one stands on Justice League, I very much like at the end of Justice League when Henry Cavill's Superman gets to be kind of a fun, energetic, a different take on that Superman. I want to see more of that Superman. And then the second part is that if you saw Shazam, one of the things I loved about Shazam was how much Superman meant to those kids.
Yes.
How important and what a role model and what like a, you know, it just was a beautiful depiction of a Superman that I really wanted to see. And I absolutely believe that Henry Cavill can be that Superman. And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of really I love the character. I think the character is far more complex and complicated than a lot of people talk about.
Yeah. Yes.
And
you're just talking about Superman in general.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And so I think that I agree with what Henry Cavill is saying. There is a depth to him. There is a nuance to him. It's not as simple as a flying Boy Scout. There's more there. And so I do want to see that, especially with, you know, like what The Rock said when he announced the Black Adam release date, you know, kind of saying like, well, Superman toes the line, but Black Adam has all his powers, but he's a rebel. And I was like, I mean, that's a weird, okay, whatever. but either way, like my point is, great, if you have Rock setting up Black Adam as a character that's like, yeah, he could take on Superman, like, let's see it.
Let's see it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I
totally had coffee with Henry Cavill at one. Remember he shared that image like back in 3 years, 4 years ago, because this thing has been in development since 85, I guess.
I love that that's your follow-up to let's see it.
They had
let's coffee. See you guys fight. You
because
had coffee together.
Because they've been talking about it. That's my point.
Is
I think The Rock has had intentions to fight Superman in the movie as Black Adam. And so if you go back to that, they've been talking about it.
Yeah.
Clark, similar to what you were saying, I have gone on record many a times because I have hosted DC Movie News for 5 years now, and I'm a massive – anybody out there knows I'm a DC stan. I love DC. Henry Cavill was not my favorite Superman until that moment where I was like, wow, That's what I
Superman.
Want moving forward.
Yeah.
There's my Superman, even though I hate when people say my blah, blah, blah. But that's how I felt. Mm. That's who I want to see. I cannot wait to see that version. And then we didn't get it. And that was such a bummer because it was the first time I really saw he could be exactly what I was hoping he would be. And they've been leading up to that. And now I don't get that. So finally hearing Henry Cavill come out and say, yo, cape's still in my closet. Not in somebody else's closet, my closet. I kind of like to see him take that ownership of it.
Yeah, and it's and echoing what you guys are all saying, like, I actually grew up, you know, loving Batman. I was always one of those people that didn't really read Superman. I thought he was a Boy Scout. I thought he was boring because he had all this power. And then eventually I started reading, like, Mark Waid's Birthright and like, reading more complex stories about him. And I feel like Man of Steel to me was him becoming Superman and him learning how whether or not you know he's going to become this hero, and we never got the sequel of watching him be Superman,
you know,
right? Because even BVS, that was a Batman movie,
and that's what Cavill says. That,
exactly.
He literally is saying that. Here, let me read this quote because I love this quote. He says, "Man of Steel, great starting point. If I were to go back, I don't think I'd change anything. Batman v Superman, very much a Batman movie, and I think that realm of darkness is great for a Batman movie. Justice League, it didn't work." That's Cavill.
But you want to know what? You can be cynical and say that Cavill just ripped apart Justice League, but really what he's saying is it didn't work. And I don't know if you could really combat that, because looking at the rest of DC's movies, Justice League, I actually happen to like the movie, but Justice League comparatively did not work.
Mm-hmm.
It did not do what they wanted it to do in the box office. It did not do what they wanted it to do critically. So that's what he's just saying in that moment. I don't think it's an opinion. I think he's saying fact. Like,
it's blunt.
So that didn't work.
It's blunt. He's just – exactly. He's saying it didn't work.
I just – can we just leave that the whole show? Just mustache gate on the screen.
Cody, are you excited to have Henry Cavill possibly as Superman again? Do you care at all, or are you more interested in his mustache?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I care more about the mustache. That thing looked fantastic in Fallout, by the way. It looked so beautiful.
It really did.
Yeah. What was I saying? I forget what I was
That you care
on.
About yeah, the mustache
I do
care. More.
He seems like a good dude, and I like seeing – people not getting screwed over. So yeah.
Imagine what a bummer that is when you are you've worked your whole life as an actor, you get cast as Superman, and then Batman, Ben Affleck leaves the franchise, and then people kind of just assume you also are gone.
Do you guys think it would be weird to have this new universe, like the Matt Reeves stuff that's coming out, right, with Robert Pattinson? Do you think it's weird to have any of the cast of the original Justice League involved in that universe at all?
For sure.
So you don't think it would work?
It's not that I don't think it would work. The question is it weird? Yes, for sure it's weird, because right now rumor is that Matt Reeves movie is going to be in the 90s.
Right.
If it's not in the 90s, it's still strange, because are we retconning Ben Affleck, or are we just saying there was another simultaneous Batman who was just a little younger? I mean, if one of the DCEU Justice League people appeared in Matt Reeves' The Batman, you have some splaining to do.
Okay. Splaining.
Yeah, you do.
Some superhero
and
splaining.
It's impossible. We have alternate timelines and Earths, and, you know, we're living in a multiverse. So, fine. We could physically do it, but you would definitely have to explain yourself.
Yeah.
You couldn't just be like, and there's Henry Cavill in the Batman movie. Yeah.
I mean, maybe the best case scenario would probably be that we do get some sort of sequel, some sort of Man of Steel sequel, and it's just Henry Cavill, and then it's just like Joker. It's just a standalone. We don't get – it doesn't have to be connected. I would be happy with that.
Dream pitch from all of you guys. So, D, you want to see a Man of Steel 2. That's how you want Henry Cavill to come back. Riley, what would you want? Obviously a Man of Steel 2.
Man of Steel 2.
And that's what you want Henry Cavill's next appearance to be.
Absolutely, and the villain would be Bizarro, and I think if you had Bizarro in this, you could play off of the reactions of Superman is here now. Everybody enjoyed his take. Now Superman is back at the end of Justice League. If Bizarro comes in looking like a Henry Cavill or a clone or whatever it is, you can play with that kind of theme of like, we just got to trusting Superman, and now somebody's coming in that's like the villain.
Clark, what is your dream for Henry Cavill future?
I think it would probably be reintroducing him in another movie. Just sort of like, you know, greasing the wheels, letting him show up, letting him play off of some other characters, and then hopefully set up a standalone Henry Cavill Superman movie.
Is there anything on our slate right now you see him fitting into, or are you saying another movie that maybe has not even been slated yet?
What about Black Adam?
Yeah, I mean, Black Adam could be fun. Because also, I mean, you know, so Shazam sets up Superman, right? That he is an important figure, an inspirational figure, a figure these kids look up to and admire. So if you have, I can't imagine you do a Black Adam movie without Shazam, right?
Right.
So
maybe.
I mean, he's kind of hinting that it's not going to be Shazam. It's going to be Black Adam movie, and then it'll set up Shazam versus Black Adam later.
If you had talked to me 5 years ago, I would have said there's no way they would ever do a Black Adam movie without Shazam. That doesn't make any sense. But based off of what The Rock has been saying, I don't know if Zachary Levi's in that movie.
Who knows? But that would be my pitch. That's how I could see this all maybe coming together.
Is Shazam and Superman in the Black Adam movie?
Sure. I mean, I think that would be a good way to – and also, I mean, if The Rock is in it, like
– everyone's going to watch
exactly.
it. Yeah.
That's really
Do you guys think that there's a possibility they would ever do like a Red Sun? Because that would be –
They tried it on Supergirl this year or the other year.
Oh, did they? Yeah. And it did not work, I'm assuming.
It's not that it didn't work, but the TV shows, although they have more episodes, and I watch every single CW DC TV show, so again, I love them, but when they tried to do Flashpoint, it came and it went because the movies have priority and the movies at that time were going to do Flashpoint. And I think that they never know which storylines are going to tap a lot gets thrown around. So Red Son turned into Red Daughter and they dabbled with it and then it kind of fell off. And then I think that they realized they weren't going to use it and then they came back. I don't think that they were able to do it as strongly as it could have been done. Mm.
I would just love a standalone movie.
But we haven't. I think the priority is getting to see Superman be a hero.
Yeah.
So until we do that,
completely agreed.
We really establish that, he's not a threat. He's not to be feared. He's not sad. He's like, he's Superman. He's the Superman that we got at the end of Justice League. Yeah. Let us live in that world for 2 hours. That's all I'm asking.
Start there.
And then we can start unpacking it all again, you know?
Agreed, hardcore. Yeah, I think the last thing we want to do right now is confuse the people by putting him in like a Batman movie because you think that that's a good way to have Superman appear. And that's confusing as hell.
They've done it. They did it already.
I just wonder if it's – and that's why they did BVS, like because Batman's a more popular superhero.
Do you think Batman's more popular than Superman?
Well, I think in the nerd world, like I think in the nerd community, like most of us maybe grew up reading it because we related more to the person with no powers, even though none of us are rich.
Dorian, if you are listening, please poll on Collider Live's Twitter who is the more popular superhero, Batman or Superman.
Oh, that's a good one.
I agree in our circles that Batman is more popular, but I think globally, I think internationally, I think it's Superman. I have that no authority on that, right. But that's just what I believe. Mark, what other news you got for us today?
I'm going to look at that as soon as I ask Dorian to post that poll.
Mark,
that's fine.
We asked you to do something else. Get at it.
We can wait. Fine.
Just keep talking.
I'll decide what we're talking about. We're going to talk
talking.
About
Dorian. Oh, my God. Who's here? Wait. Oh, he wants a muffin.
Dorian, you can't. You tell me you won't come on the show, and then you come on for a muffin?
Priorities.
Are you kidding me?
The most important thing.
Are you going to tell? You will do the poll? You were listening to us. How are we doing? You're getting clapped for. I didn't even get air horns, and he gets clapped for.
Is that printer working out there? Great.
No idea, but can you get, the audacity to come in here and take one of our muffins?
Can have my muffin. I'm allergic.
Oh no. What are you allergic to?
Gluten.
Oh, that I knew. That I knew. I was like, muffins.
I can't have muffins.
Yeah. You have the gluten-free pizza.
Yes.
I see that.
I do have that.
Little inside peek at the behind the schmodown.
Oh, they don't ever order me gluten-free pizza, girl.
They do not, but I have seen you back there eating your own gluten-free pizza that you have gotten
yourself. I bring
yourself.
My own. That's right.
You are an independent woman.
Always come prepared.
Okay, Mark, let's talk about Lord of the Rings because this was a fun bit of news.
This is crazy. And for fans of Lord of the Rings, this should give you some really good news and hope that it's going to be good because they've already greenlit and put into development season 2. It's already renewed for an early season 2 renewal. And that's even before they're even done with season 1 yet. So this is according to Deadline, broke late last night. So we are getting season 2 of Lord of the Rings on Amazon no matter what.
Can I tell you how tired I am recently? When I read this, I was like, I missed the first season of Lord of the Rings.
Roxy, we discussed this. Your mental health right now. It's mental plaque.
It is all plaque. But okay. I seriously had a panic because I was like, there was a Lord of the Rings show that I came out already because I was not expecting to hear it picked up for season 2 this soon. Now, this happens a lot, and especially Apple TV, I think, picked up all of their shows for a second season before we got any episodes.
There's so much content that we missed an entire season of Lord of the Rings is what you're saying.
But there's now 550 live-action shows a year. I thought I just missed it. Simply missed it.
Do you guys feel like you watch more TV or movies in general?
TV, 100%. But I don't get invited to screenings.
Wait, I'm kind of surprised by your answer on that.
If anyone's listening, I don't get invited to anything, so I don't get to see anything. So I have to go on my own is what I'm saying.
But not new TV or new movies. You just mean in general TV or movies, right? It's still TV?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like the movie gal, though.
What
about you?
I was just
Mark, movies?
Yeah, I watch more movies than
TV shows, but we seem to be watching a lot more TV lately because I'm now catching up on things. Like, we just finished season one of Fleabag last night.
So good.
Holy shit.
It's so good.
That movie's amazing.
It's great.
That show.
Yeah, right.
Mandelbrot. Like, huh? That show is amazing.
I watch a movie usually every night.
A goddess. That second season is one of the best seasons of TV.
She's incredible. I just like she's a freak of nature. How does she act that well and write that well and direct everything? I don't understand.
Do you ask that because you think that the Lord of the Rings show is going to do? Was there a correlation there? Like, are you thinking that people are watching more television, so the Lord of the Rings show will do
I just think it's funny that they're because it's a franchise, they're already setting up season two. Like, it happened with Mandalorian as well, right? Before it came out. Like, these companies are just banking on the fact that it's a franchise, so we're going to do it again. And I wonder if it's because people are watching more TV than movies.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys.
I'm so excited right now.
Because I wonder if this is a little deadline shade. Because right here in their article, Amazon Studios acquired global TV rights to The Lord of the Rings in a blockbuster November 2017 deal. It included a multi-season commitment to a Lord of the Rings series. So this is not a surprise.
So they already said that they're going to do multi-season.
Yeah, so I think it was a 5-season commitment, as well as a potential spinoff series.
It's also
okay. So it's just clickbait.
So then it goes on to say, still, each consecutive season after the first has to be formally greenlit by a streaming network. But I'm like, guys,
I don't know. It's weird now because it's no long – now the distribution places are the production companies are the platforms in which it's streaming on. So it's not like these companies are putting together – some of them are. But with Amazon, they're creating this for their own site. Mm-hmm. So they get to decide whether or not they pick up their own show, which is – different than
even though they've made a multi-season commitment already
to them to themselves.
So I feel like this is a nothing burger.
But do you think that it was for do you think that Clark on that note, if this is a nothing burger, do you think it was for the people like me? Because I have to imagine if there are people like me, I'm me and I watch as much television as I do, there's people out there who were like, oh yeah, a Lord of the Rings show.
I absolutely, 100% think that this is exactly that. Hey guys, don't forget, I know you guys are all excited about Apple TV over here, and I know you're all excited about Mandalorian over here. Right. Don't forget about us, Lord of the Rings. Hi!
When does it come out?
Question mark?
last month, Dorina. You missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. But yeah, I think it's exactly that. I think it's just a little goose to the IP.
Well, then, can I tell you?
Yeah. It worked. So there you go.
Yeah, it worked.
Because you thought you missed an entire season of a show.
First, it caused me to panic. Thank you so much, Amazon.
Satanic panic.
But I see what you did there.
Plugged you right there.
And then it caused me to get excited again because I forgot completely that Lord of the Rings was doing this.
Yeah. Are you guys big fans of the franchise?
No.
Lord of the Rings?
No.
I love Lord of the Rings. Okay. Hobbit? Not so much.
Can I tell you what? I don't know the answer to that question because I feel like I like it a lot. But I never know anymore whether I'm allowed to say I'm a big fan of something.
Right, because you don't know
everything. Yeah. So absolutely no. If you start quizzing me on things, do I know anything about it? And deep cuts, no. But like, I would think I'm a fan because I really like it.
Do you have second breakfast every morning? Because that's an important thing to do.
I do not.
If you're a fan, there
I do
you go.
Not.
Then you're not a hobbit. Maybe you're an elf.
Well, I've been told, Josh McCuga, what did he say to me? That I'm a half elf, half hobbit, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Makes sense. Yeah, are you feet hairy?
No, actually, but I am Jewish, so I do have a lot of hair in other areas.
There we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember really enjoying the movies, like when I saw them, right? I didn't know anything about them when the trailer first came out. I was like, who are these cool looking people, right? But then I read the books and I really enjoyed them and I really enjoyed the first three movies, but I never got into them like as I got into like, you know, Star Wars or Star Trek or horror. Mm-hmm. But
I kind of think enjoying the movies means you are a fan. Is that crazy to say?
No, I think that's what a fan
is. I think that's the definition of fandom. Yeah.
Don't let them win.
Don't let the bullies win.
In so few areas of my life am I this timid, but all of a sudden now I catch myself being like, am I a fan?
Yes, you are. Yes. Don't let them take your fandom.
If you like something, you are a fan of something.
So you're a fan of Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I'm not a hardcore fan, but I like him.
I would say I'm a hardcore fan. I've read those books at least 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've read them. I did what Christopher Lee did at one point. I was reading them every year back in college. Right. So,
are you excited about the show, Mark?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm very excited.
I haven't 2021. Heard you talk about it.
Even after The Hobbit?
Because I'm The Hobbit.
But Peter Jackson's not really involved in this.
He's not really involved in this. So it gets me a little it gets me excited because I'm looking at the content that Amazon is putting up. And like I just mentioned, Fleabag. So I think they're really taking some chances. And I think they can really do something special here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But what's confusing is because Tolkien has so much additional material like the Silmarillion. I don't know how much they're mining of that and what we're going to see of this. If it's before, it's I guess it's before Lord of the Rings, which put it before The Hobbit. So it's a little confusing, but 2021 is where I'm finding that it's going to premiere.
That date is so far.
Is it, though? Because 2020 is in 6 weeks.
God damn it.
What did I tell you?
Math.
I'm sorry. I'm in April. Let me live. Cody, what do I have to do for those? What do I have to do?
Fart on her. Fart on her.
Drop some truth bombs.
It's not that far away if it's in the beginning of 2021. But I don't see this show coming out in a January. What do you guys think? Do you think this will be a fall show?
With streaming, I don't think that seasons matter.
That's kind of true.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the idea, like for instance, one of the things that I think is so clever that Netflix has started doing is around holidays where they know people are off of work and are going to be hanging out with groups of people. They drop high profile things. Bird Box last year at Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, everybody's going to be sitting around bored. So let's have them watch something together.
Right.
Stranger Things, you know, in the summertime. That's huge, of course. Like, and so on and so forth. I think that's really smart. And so I could see this. But I could also see it at Christmas, you know?
But 2021 December?
Could be.
That's when they released the movies.
Exactly.
It was always December, 2001, 2, and 3.
We might be over 2 years away from this.
Could be,
and there's already second season.
Well, they're casting up, so they haven't even begun filming yet. And if this is what we know Lord of the Rings could be capable of, lots of effects, big set pieces, epic battles, that's going to take some time.
Hard to say because obviously it's still far out, but Mark, as the only hardcore fan in this room,
sure.
Dream casting for this show, is there anybody you could really picture in a Lord of the Rings?
John Cena!
Well, definitely John Cena, but like obviously other than
well,
him.
Who's been cast in it now?
CG,
because it's
Roxy
been very, very confusing.
I want to see a CG Roxy Stryer elf.
Now you're hoping that
show.
Now you're hoping that something's happened.
No, but
to
you
me
said you'd be okay
then.
Even if you're alive if they CG you. Right?
That's true, but I don't think they will. I need to get the sympathy points.
Oh.
You know, they're not going to just CG me into a movie.
They might.
No, I kind of doubt it. You don't think?
Well, maybe if you were a real fan, then they would.
Sick burn.
Guys, I'm a real fan, okay?
That was you know what, Roxy? Now they I'd like to report a murder, and now they can see you.
Aww.
Because that was a sick burn.
Sick burn, man. Cody, I'm still trying. Let's see if I can make any jokes that will make Cody do the air horns before we take
you
our guest.
You got an hour left.
I've got 5 minutes before our guest.
True.
So
yeah.
I gotta be quick on my toes. He does like when I rap about his child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you did a good rap before.
Yeah, but
before
that
the show,
live
it
on
wasn't
air.
On
there's
that.
Some, yeah.
You come up with somebody, Riley? Because you're doing that thing where you touch your mouth like you've got a great answer.
Well, no, I don't.
Because
really long I can.
Nail and
but
looks
I can't.
Like you're scratching
you,
your
yeah.
nose hole.
I can't come up with a cat. Is my nose hole? Is
yes.
that what you said?
Again, like Clark said, sick burn.
There it is.
Sick burn with the nose hole.
I have no idea, though, what. This where we're covering the story, so I can't even come up with. I could just throw out like Will Poulter has been cast. That's great.
I think he is one of the best actors of our generation. He is so good.
Speaking of good actors, I got to see Little Women, the new one, last night, and holy crap, man! That what's her name? Florence Pugh.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you say her name. Mm-hmm. She was in Midsommar.
Yeah,
Fighting with My Family. Yeah. She's so good. Everything she does is perfect.
Can you talk about the movie or no?
Yeah, yeah.
How was it?
I really liked it. I thought it was really great. I'm not a huge fan of the series, right? Like I read the book when I was a kid, and I obviously watched like the Christian Bale Winona Ryder movie. But I thought it was really good. I thought it was really enjoyable. It's not usually my cup of tea to have a bunch of like romance going on, but I thought it was beautiful. Alexander Desplat did the music, and it's great. Desplat! There's your soundbite, Cody.
Our director is
Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Anything super surprising? Don't tell me what it is, but. Was there anything?
No, I mean, I did feel like Joey and Friends, where I was like, oh, Beth is sick. Here it comes. Spoilers. And I was like, maybe it won't happen this time.
It's a great episode of Friends.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Excellent episode of Friends. Yeah. It's a really rude thing to do to people, and you just did it.
Yeah. But you don't know what happens. Just saying.
I told you guys she's evil. Put the book in the freezer. You guys pay attention to me.
Did you guys ever put that in a book in the freezer? I did with Dracula.
I would put Star Wars toys in the freezer.
Why?
Because they would be in carbonite.
Method. Oh my God.
Wow.
Have you ever thought, I put Han Solo in a cup of water and put it in the freezer the next day.
And did he?
And he was, oh my God.
And then I would thaw him and the story would continue.
It's like I'm partially sad for you, and also that's really cute.
Well, about how really old creative. Are you?
Yeah, because
if you were
question.
Like 14,
last year,
then it's not cute. Yeah.
No, I was, I don't know, 5.
Okay, that's
also,
cute.
Why did you look at your watch for your age?
That's the joke.
Oh,
how, I was,
so
how
was
old was I? About last week I did this.
No, I get it now.
Cody?
Nope.
Man is
Cody,
spoken.
What the fly?
He's just doing
man
it to mess
spoken.
With you at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yo, my name is Cody, and I'm here to say air horns are the way. What's a girl got to do? What's a girl got to do?
We have our own fart gate here.
Fine.
You got to be Clerk Wolf and show up on our show.
We'll cut to commercial. I'll think of something to do before we end the show. Maybe if I talk about Fartgate, he'll be into me and play the air horns. We just really never know. Mm. We will be coming back, guys, with Todd Lieberman. He is promoting The Aeronauts, a movie that Dee and I just saw that is pretty wild.
Yes, it is.
Definitely an interesting
great
one,
actors.
And I can't wait to talk to him. He's produced some of your favorite movies at home, and we'll be talking all about it with him in just a moment.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know, we break down the latest and the greatest.
Hey everyone, this is John Rocha.
Talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it.
Hey everyone, this is John Rocha. This is John Rocha. This is John Rocha. This is John Rocha. This is John Rocha.
We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey everyone.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Coy Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you
make
on
it
Collider
big,
Video
and then we'll
on
watch
YouTube.
Make
as
it
you've
big,
always loved it.
Plus,
now we've got
hour-long
podcast dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Roca here, the host of Collider Mailbag. New episodes drop every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's for you. Oh, and we are back on Collider Live. Here joined by producer of the Aeronauts, Todd Lieberman.
Woohoo!
Hello, hello.
Todd, you are officially the first guest to ever bring us something.
Really?
On the show. We have been doing this show for a year and a half, and you're the first person. He brought us donuts.
Not just something, but donuts, the best dessert ever.
And
so.
He wrote us the cutest card, guys. I would show you, but it's taped down. It says, enjoy, courtesy of Todd Lieberman. Yeah. So sweet of
That's so weird that I wrote my own note on that. I will say, by the way, the first job I ever had in my life was I worked at a radio station. In Cleveland, Ohio in the 80s. And I vividly remember before any guest would come on, they would bring donuts. Mm. And so I felt like that was a good tradition to upheld.
You know
it's
who
the
else,
best tradition, apparently.
You know who else would bring donuts? Dexter, serial killer. So,
oh, you have a lot trying, in common. Wow. Dexter. Wow.
I got to think good about that one. Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Welcome.
I think that's what he was
really
going for.
Really good to be here. Really good to be here. Well, there's a basket of muffins here, though. I didn't bring
those.
Oh,
please have some.
No,
Martha from The Handmaid's Tale brought us some.
I brought this.
Oh, so healthy.
What is it? What do you got?
This is a – by the way, I have nothing to do with this company, so it's a Go Macro bar.
Oh. But let me ask you, like you were like, you know what I need to do on Collider Live? I need to eat this bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna in the middle of it.
You didn't want one of the donuts? You're welcome to one of your own donuts.
That's my gift to you guys.
Oh, thank you. We will absolutely take it. You mentioned your job at the radio station, but it was not your only job. It was back in the day, and you have had 1,000 jobs since then.
At least.
One of the things that I think is most interesting about you is that you have 40 credits on IMDb right now as a producer, and you have 40 upcoming credits on IMDb.
Wow.
That's how many projects you have in production right now, in development or production.
I have to check that.
40 of them. I was looking through them. I was like, how is that even possible that as many things as you've produced, you are about to be producing?
Magic. It's just magic.
No, but really, how does that work?
And well, do you sleep is my question.
Valid question. None of us do, so it's fine if you
so
don't.
So here's the thing. So I have a business partner named David Hoberman. We've been together for over 20 years.
Wow.
So, and we have an amazing staff of folks that work with us, alongside us. So we do a bit of a divide and conquer philosophy where we have a lot of things going on and each of us kind of goes in different directions. But those 40 things that are listed on IMDb, I would venture to guess all of them aren't accurately actually going into production. So that would be my guess.
Why? Because people will try to attach your name on their projects on IMDb because that makes them seem more legitimate?
No. There's IMDb is an amazing site. I've actually spent a lot of time with Cole Needham, who started the whole thing.
Wow.
And I love that guy. He's fantastic.
Why have you spent a lot of time with him?
He's just a giant movie fan. And I've seen him now at all the different festivals, and we met, and he's just the nicest, coolest, sweetest guy who happens to absolutely love movies. So I have an extraordinary amount of respect for him. I have an extraordinary amount of respect for the site. What they do is they take a lot of the movies that we have in development. So we've got a lot of things that we're working on, and they're various stages of development. So some of them are much farther along. Some of them are closer, and it kind of lumps them all into upcoming.
How many of those would you say you're legitimately working on hands-on right now? And which ones? What are the projects that are real?
I would say 40.
So every one of them.
Every one of them. But they're not all about to shoot. I would say probably within the next year, I would say there's a good likelihood. There's a strong likelihood that we probably have 5 movies coming up.
Mm, okay. Well, one of those movies is The Aeronauts, and that is coming December 6th. We know that for sure. So it's going to be in theaters. Everybody go check it out. How did this project come to be?
So as a producer, you know, we're always looking for things to fall in love with, projects to fall in love with, things to put our time and energy into. And, you know, production goes in waves. So, you know, if I can only speak for myself, David's the same. But when we're in production, when I'm on something, I'm really not paying attention to much else. I'm really doing that production. So when that production ends, I usually go through this kind of 2-week depression moratorium where it's like the come down off the movie. And then 2 weeks later, I'm into this experience of, okay, let's do some hunting and gathering. Now we're looking for new projects. We're trying to find things to fall in love with, stories, anything. And so I do a ton of meetings and just setting up general meetings. And we're sitting like, let's meet with writers, let's meet with actors, let's meet with directors. And I had seen this miniseries called War and Peace that aired on the BBC that the director Tom Harper had done. And I was just kind of really floored by, A, how beautiful it was, how he deconstructed that really difficult novel in the way that he did, the tone of it. It had grand scope. And so I did what producers do, and I called a general meeting. I said, I'd like to meet him. And we sat in that room.
Not knowing if he had anything else going on,
no,
you just
nothing.
Wanted to meet him. Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's like the professional blind date, right? You're just sitting down and you're like getting to know each other and talking. And what are you into? What are you into? And as we are sitting there talking, I just really liked him. He's just a great guy and obviously super talented. And he started talking about this project that he was starting to conceive. With his friend Jack Thorne. Now, Jack Thorne is a phenomenal writer, an amazing human and a phenomenal writer. And Jack Thorne, we had hired to write a movie called Wonder for us that we had done. So he mentions Jack Thorne. He said the two of us are kind of working on this this project that is about a real flight that happened in the 1860s of a balloon that went up in the air. In 91 minutes, it came down. And we're thinking of conceptualizing this kind of period action in the sky, and I'm like, hold on a second, like that sounds amazing. And then we just started talking about it, and I just locked into that idea. And then David and I talked about it, and we both kind of locked into it. We're like, we have to be involved in that. So then it becomes a little bit of the courting process, and you know, it was like sending him texts, and I went home, and we have this room in the kids' playroom. I have two boys, and
Dexter room.
No, it's just a donut room. It's all donuts in there. I write my notes a little to myself. All their artwork is on the walls in this playroom. And I had never seen this piece of art before. And I just come back from that meeting with Tom. And I notice right on the wall, there's a drawing that my young son had done of him in a balloon. And I had never seen it there before, but it had been there for years. Mm-hmm. So either that says something about my parenting or how much time I spent in that room.
We'll say the latter.
Yeah, we'll say the latter. And so I took a photo of that and I texted it to Tom and I said, it's meant to be. And so we just started collaborating together and started developing the script and putting the movie together. But it's really from that like initial idea of the challenge of how does one make – a movie that's basically set in the air in the 1860s.
As a producer, what actually attracts you to a project, though? Is it because, in this case, you really like the director? Is it because you really wanted to do a film, like an epic looking film, because it is a beautiful looking film, right? And so, or is it the story? Like, yeah. Is it just a bunch of different things?
It's a lot of different things. I mean, I think that for us, and I'll say specifically for me, it's really like, why are we the best people to tell the story?
Right.
There are certain genres out there that and we pass on almost everything that comes our way, partly because we would be doing a disservice to a director or someone else to say we're the right people for something unless we believe we're the right people for mm-hmm. something. So it's both the challenge, the technical challenge of something we've never done before. Like, how are we going to actually execute that? It's the emotional story. It's the potential auspices. And in this case, I think it was a combination of all those things. But the very first thing that attracted me to it was the visualization of how in the world are we going to spend an hour and 40-minute movie in the sky? Mm-hmm. How is that going to be achievable? And that challenge, both on a technical level, on looking at the resume and saying we've never done anything like that before – all those things, it's exciting.
You did such an excellent job with it. And I have to say, I don't think I would have had the creative vision to go through with that project because of what you just said. There's so much time in a box smaller than this room, which is saying something, for them, two characters to be spending in there. And you're saying you have to know that you're the right person for that project.
Yeah.
Why did you think that – because clearly you were, but why did you think you were the right person for that specific project that it takes place in the 1800s? It's a story about hot air balloons, so I don't know if you've ever even gone on one. What were you like, this is me. I've got this.
If you – a lot of people, a lot of producers make their careers off of telling a kind of singular story multiple times in multiple ways and franchises. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would frankly have loved for us to have some franchises. But if you look at our resume, the kinds of stories we tell are kind of all over the place.
Yeah. I was noticing that. I was going to ask you this very question.
So I read your mind. I knew you were going to ask me that.
So he is Dexter.
Dexterish. Okay.
So I think part of it is the beauty of being able to work and the privilege of being able to work in the film business as a producer is you kind of can choose the kind of stories you want to tell. And I grew up in the theater. My partner David grew up in the studio system where he was running a slate of films for a studio. And both of us in different ways have just been used to telling lots of different kinds of stories in mm-hmm. our lives. So in the theater, you do you can do like a big commercial Bye Bye Birdie or Grease, and then 2 weeks later I'm off directing Equus and then doing some experimental play and then a comedy. And so just the years and years of checking the box over here and checking the box over here. And that's kind of fun to me, that the repetition, again, not to diminish the value of telling singular stories multiple times, but the repetition of that sometimes to me gets a little monotonous.
Right.
So I like the excitement of what's something totally different. Mm.
Yeah, and if you look at your resume, I mean, you got The Fighter, which was an amazing movie, The Muppets.
Congrats on your Oscar for that, by the way.
Yeah, The Muppets, Warm Bodies, The Proposal, like it's genres all over the place. Like is there a project that you just hold very dear to your heart that's like the favorite thing you worked on?
It's a tough question. I mean, they're all, they're all very personal in lots of different ways. I think about The Fighter, the first movie that I ever saw in the movie theater in my entire life was a movie called Champ with Ricky Schroeder and John Voight. And I remember seeing it as a six-year-old and not understanding why I was feeling emotional. And coming out of there, and then I saw the Rocky movies. I'm like, I don't know what this is, but there's something about boxing that I'm just really into, this idea of singular strength and overcoming achievement against one singular individual in a ring.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty young age to see those movies and have those feelings and thoughts.
Yeah, I saw a lot of movies way younger than I should have. But for the rest of my life, I'm like, if I ever get into the film business, I want to tell a boxing movie. So we were always just searching for that and searching for it. So there's a personal attachment there. I mean, the Muppets, you know, I grew up on the Muppets. I have kids of my own, and I wanted to kind of give them the experience of the experience that I had when I was a kid.
You guys did. It's a great reboot.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I mean, that's like, you know, a dream come true when you're sitting in front of Kermit the Frog, who then just comes alive and you're just talking to him and you don't even understand that there's a human being there. The proposal, you know, came from, frankly, it was a script that was written, but the sell of it and getting it done at Disney came from a personal story where I was with a significantly older woman for a portion of time in my life, and I wanted to tell an intergenerational love story. So they all have kind of certain personal attachments. And, you know, this one is really no different, just in the sense that I've fallen in love with the people. I've fallen in love with the story. And the more you kind of dig into the history of it and what people accomplished back then, it's kind of mind-blowing.
Completely agree. And you definitely accomplished that. Speaking of personal attachment, though, I did want to ask you a little bit about – I'm from Boston. And I had a really, really challenging time when I went and saw Patriots Day. And I think that a lot of people from Boston did. And then when I went and saw Stronger, it was a completely different experience. And I thought that that movie was so excellently done and respectful.
Thank you.
It's a really thin line to walk, because obviously there were riots in the street about one of those movies, and the one that you made, there were not. Did you have a personal attachment to that film, or was there something, a conversation that you guys had about how to make sure that this movie was well received to people in Boston and was respectful of what had happened?
Very much so. That was the intent from the very beginning. Well, I just fell in love with Jeff Bowman and fell in love with his story and just this kind of overcoming of obstacles and becoming a symbol that you don't believe you are, and then accepting what that means. So before we did anything on this movie, I went to Boston and sat with Mayor Marty Walsh and his chief of staff, this young man named Dan Coe, and a bunch of other people. And I basically said, look, here's the thing. We want to do this movie. Here's the script. We have Jeff. We've got his family. But there's no version of us making this movie without your support and without you understanding what the intent is. So I kind of pitched him what it is. I said, it's going to be hard. Like, this is going to be tough. But if we don't – if you guys aren't bought in and the city isn't bought in the way that we intend to tell the story, we're not making it. We're not making it anywhere else, and we're certain we're not making it at all. So we lived by that principle of hiring locals, making sure that we're consulting with everyone there, getting the entire city on our side, the people from the Boston Athletic Association. So an interesting story is when the thing was done shooting, the last day of filming, this amazing chief of staff, Dan Coe, who ended up running for Congress in Massachusetts afterwards, called me and he said, I want to have dinner with you. And we had dinner. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And he said, look, you pitched us something at the very beginning of this process that you've completely lived up to, and we couldn't be more thankful. He reached on his lapel and took off his mayor's lapel pin and pinned it on me and said, you're one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a big deal for a Bostonian to say to a Clevelander.
Yeah. Yeah. That's unbelievable. And it was just you at that time, or you were with your partner?
Well, David and I have been together forever, so we do everything together. But in terms of being in Boston, I was kind of running that movie. Yeah.
What is your advice then to anybody who wants to make a 9/11 or any of the horrible things that have happened in our country, that because usually people want to make movies about that. They want to tell and they want it to survive history. Do you have advice for producers, writers, directors that are trying to touch on some of these subjects?
It's hard. I mean, I can say from our perspective and the way that I look for stories is, what's the personal connection? Like, we all can read the news and we all know what the event is. But what's the personal story inside of that that we can relate to on a human level that we might not know, that in our case, and this is really what draws us to stories, that makes you leave the film feeling better than you did when you walked in?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, again, when I was talking about genres before, I would say if there's a dark ending to a movie, I don't think we're the right people to tell it. There's other people who do that really well and people do it exceptionally well, and we're not those people. We like to tell stories that have a little bit of an uplift at the end. So Stronger, while an excruciating experience during the course of it, hopefully at the end of that movie leaves you feeling better and kind of invigorated. So any advice I would give to people is find the human story, like understand the people, not the event.
Speaking of stories you want to tell, you mentioned this earlier today, and I also have heard you guys talking about this for a couple of years now, how you want to be a part of a franchise. You would like to tell a franchise story. Is that any franchise? Is that a specific franchise? Are you obsessed with one of them?
Yeah, one of my questions for you was what's the – is there a white whale out there? Is there like something – because your biography or your filmography is so eclectic.
It's so hard to say. I mean – I'm so frustrating to people when they ask me this question, because agents and others will ask, what are you looking for next? And I never know what to say, because it's really that – it's completely the identical response to I know it when I see it. And I've made this analogy before, and I was saying to my wife and we've been together for 20 years. I was saying to her, you know what's interesting? I figured out that, you know, as a single man many years ago – you would kind of take this energy and you would go out and you'd date and you'd look for a mate and what I've figured out is that I've taken all that energy and I've transferred it to stories and directors and writers and just figuring out a way to shift that love into stories. So I don't know what I'm looking for until it's in front of me, and then I'm like, I need to tell this story. And that it's really complicated, and there's really no no algorithm to kind of understand it.
And so we have a lot of directors, actors come and talk to us, but I was excited to talk to a producer because I just want to learn the process more so. And so once you do find that story that you love and you want to tell, like in this case, the Aeronauts, how do you go about – like I'm assuming you're involved in the whole process of selecting actors, right? And so how does that go about? Like is there kind of like – do you have like a sheet that you're like, okay, we're going to cast this first. Yeah. We're going to hire a score composer at later. Like how does that process
every,
go?
Yeah, every project's different. In this particular one, we knew that the value of this project would be the visuals to sell, right? Mm-hmm. So Jack Thorne wrote the script speculatively, which means he didn't get paid for it. He wrote it for free. And we developed that and developed it with Tom. And then we commissioned an artist to paint six different panels of potential visuals. And we blew those panels up like massive. So there was, you know, the scene where the butterfly is just giant. The scene where they cut the basket.
I love that moment.
Oh, thank you. The scene where they cut the basket. Just these giant visual renderings of what the visual potential of this movie would be. And then we took that out and used that as the kind of lure along with the name and note of all the people involved. And then once we set it up at Amazon – who were the most creatively passionate and creatively in tune of what the potential for this movie could be, we said, all right, let's figure out a budget. And they gave us an R&D stipend. So they gave us some money to kind of do more drawings and paintings and artwork and figure out a budget. And then we said, let's figure out who our cast is. So Eddie Redmayne was number one on our list for James. Mm-hmm. And Felicity Jones was number one on our list for Amelia.
How come?
We love the idea of two people who had worked together mm-hmm, already mm-hmm. because, as you'd mentioned before, the movie generally takes place in this confined space.
Right.
So rather than kind of testing out
chemistry,
we knew it was there. And they had I'd heard a rumor that they wanted to work together again. So we sent each of their representatives the script individually without telling them that we sent the other one the script. The hope there being that they would have the brilliant idea of let's do it together. And that's what happened. So it wasn't our idea. It was their idea.
That's smart. That's good producing.
I don't know what it is, but
make
it worked.
Sure they think it's their idea. They came up with the
whatever it is, it turned out well.
That's pretty smart. You guys initially or a couple of years ago had a first look with Disney. Is that still the case?
We have our feature arrangement is with Universal and our television arrangement is with Disney ABC. We still have a ton of business over at ABC. and we have this this new flourishing relationship with Universal.
But this is an Amazon project.
This is an Amazon project.
So how does that come to be?
We had our deal at Disney at the time, and we exposed the project to them as one would when you have a first look deal, and they opted not to do it.
It kind of feels pretty up their alley when you were pitching it to them. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you pitch to them that you're like, there's no way they're going to pick this. It just doesn't fit their brand. This kind of does fit their brand. Any thoughts on what happened there?
You know, this – I do believe that when people see this movie, they will say this is real family entertainment, mm-hmm. that there's really nothing in it that prevents a kid from seeing it. And I think there's action and excitement and
– a little scary, but I agree that kids could definitely see this, especially if you could see the things you saw growing up.
This isn't the champ. I can't speak to how Disney makes their decisions. It didn't fit in for what they were doing. But look, I will say I'm really glad that where it ended up is where it ended up, because we had kind of an unparalleled creative support system in Amazon, where this team of people basically gave us freedom to make the movie that we wanted to make. And that's all you can ask for in a creative partnership.
So can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
So I am curious, as you know, streaming, as there are new platforms or new ways to watch features all the time, right? You are a veteran of this business. You have seen a lot of different, you know, you were making movies before streaming was such a viable option. How do you feel about these changes that are happening? Because, you know, for instance, I think about I'm a horror fan, and so Dr. Sleep, great movie, Mike Flanagan, great director, Stephen King, you know, well done, well acted, well promoted, and people did not show up at the theater to see it. But I would argue that is not a referendum on the quality of the piece, right? So with something like this, you know, which sounds like it's something that would, you know what I mean? Yeah. Are you, how do you feel about homes for features?
I mean, I have mixed feelings on it all, and I don't even, to be totally honest, I don't have yet a clear point of view on how I totally feel about it. I will say that as it relates to the Aeronauts, all things being equal, I think people should see this on the big screen. I think it deserves to be seen on the big screen with great sound, big spectacle. That said, I also understand that not everyone has that option. I also understand that there's tons of other options for people to do. So if I were to opt between someone seeing it on the big screen or not seeing it, or seeing it on their own home device and seeing it, I would certainly opt for the latter. So being partnered with a place like Amazon that has this massively significant reach, I'm thrilled that tons and tons of people will see the movie. I think back to I mentioned that my first job was at a radio station. My second job was at a video store. And every day for that video store, we were allowed two free movies to take home. So I basically learned films – through the video store and all the classics. I didn't see them on the big screen. I saw them on my little mini television at home. And most of them I've never seen on the big screen. As a matter of fact, I think probably all those classics other than Lawrence of Arabia, which I went to the Egyptian and saw it projected on 65 millimeter. Nice. That's the only one I've seen on the big screen. So my recollection of these classics comes from the television. So I'm not going to I understand that the way people consume content has changed and the way people organize their time has changed. From our point of view, we just have to continue to make stories that people want to see. And then at the end of the day, I understand that they're going to choose how to see them. But I will say – people should see this movie, if they can, as big as possible.
On December 6th.
On December 6th.
Piggybacking off what Clark asked, though, because a lot of creators are going from – like take Benioff and Weiss.
Yeah.
You know, they're going from instead of doing Star Wars, they have a massive deal at Netflix, and that is where they're putting their energy. Do you think we are going to see that shift more, and what do you think that that ultimately will do for the landscape?
I think we're going to – I mean, look, we're going through a massive change right now. You know, the business is different today than it was 6 months ago, certainly a year ago, massively 2 years ago. So what's going to happen a year from now? I think it's going to look significantly different again. there's tons and tons and tons of options for storytellers to place their material. So in a way, I kind of look at that as an advantage that, all right, if there's a story that maybe someplace doesn't want to put theatrically and I still love the story, well, there's other options for me. I can take it over here and make it in this place, maybe for a little less money, but that's okay. I want to tell the story. What that means a year from now, I don't know. But I take it as
so he's not Dexter. We've proved it. He can't figure it out.
Hold these on, donuts are safe to eat.
Whoa, that's a good
Come
selection.
It's better than your bar. You got to have one of the donuts for sure.
Yeah.
Or a muffin.
We're going to peer pressure you into it.
Back now.
Okay. No temptation.
Another question about Aeronauts before we let you go, because I think that with a movie that's taking place so long ago, you don't have the same resources you have today when you're trying to tell a real story.
Yeah.
And I was watching this, and it's so beautiful and so crazy that all I could think to myself is, like, is this what happened?
Yeah.
How do they know how much of this is real? Are the people? The situation? Tell me a little bit about the research.
It's a good
process.
Question. So there was a ton of research going into this.
How?
Because there's James Glacier wrote books. There's tons of articles, newspaper articles from the day, and different periodicals and scribes from all the way from the 1700s all the way through kind of the height of ballooning in the mid-1800s. This particular flight, the flight itself, the Mammoth, is an actual flight. A lot of the things that happened on that actual flight, they went through a storm. Maybe it wasn't exactly this kind of storm. But we took tons of other flights and put them into this Mammoth flight. So did someone climb on the side of the balloon and summit it while it was icy? No, not in this particular flight. But Charles Green, who was another balloonist, did actually climb on the side of a balloon in another flight. Were dogs thrown out of flights? Yes, they were, actually.
That was a real thing.
That's a real thing.
In a parachute.
In a parachute.
That flipped
That's
me
crazy.
Out.
That's a real thing.
How do you know what's going to – how did you – wow. That flipped me out.
Were butterflies discovered at 20,000 feet and that was a surprise? Yes, they were.
That was a real thing.
That's
too.
A real thing. Everything in this movie I would say 90-some percent of everything that happened in this movie happened in a flight – in the time period of ballooning, not all of them happened in the Mammoth flight.
That is really interesting to hear. I was thinking we were going to be at like a 50% number because some of it is so insane.
Yeah, no, some of it's insane. By the way, the one thing I will say just in terms of reality, because this was insane, is that we flew our actors in the balloon for real. Like a lot of what you guys saw in that movie is actual flight footage, not visual effects footage.
Huh.
So when Felicity is climbing up on top of the hoop and sitting there and the big shots going across the landscape, that's them in the air with helicopters and drones circling around them.
Wow.
When Felicity's character climbs up the top of the side of the balloon and summits it in this icy cold, that's actually a young stunt woman named Helen Bailey who's incredible climbing on top of the side of the balloon 2,000 feet in the air.
Wow.
That's terrifying.
My feet just went numb.
Yeah.
Same.
Well, you guys are going to have to see it for yourself on December 6th in theaters. It is The Aeronauts, Todd Lieberman. Thank you so much for being
great.
Here, Todd.
Thank you.
Really
Thank
appreciate
you
it.
Thank you. That was fun.
We will be coming back very soon. We'll be taking your live calls. I'm sure you have questions for us, so don't move.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it, with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Vachetti on. We've had
what
so many
twist.
Great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations. Ah! And I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies. We talk about life and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Troy Jondra, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. New episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Welcome back to Collider Live, where we find out the hard-hitting facts, report them here, and then break it down.
Breaking news, Roxy.
Mark Riley, we have to get into it because I need to know. Talk to me about Fartgate.
Okay, first off, great interview. Thank you very much.
That was so fantastic.
Yeah. But enough of that. Let's get back to this mysterious farter. Okay, so
for anybody who doesn't know,
here on Twitter, which is correct in most everything, first, though this is circumstantial, please read about the mysterious farter who has plagued MSNBC's office for years.
Did he pull it up?
Yeah, here we go.
Rewinding for a second. Last night, one person tweeted out a video of – what is this man's
name? Eric Swalwell.
Eric Swalwell.
His new slogan campaign is smelt it, dealt it.
Mm-hmm. He was in the middle of speaking – live, and there was a big fart-sounding noise. Mm. He paused, and then he continued his sentence.
As one does.
That is what we saw. And the person who tweeted it out initially said, I thought that my dog farted, but when I rewound, or whatever she did, she saw that it was actually him. Cody, can we actually check out this video real quick in case anybody has not seen?
Nope, there was.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from the evidence dollars to ask
he
the Ukrainians
does,
to help
he
him
does kind of a, to ask okay. it's like a little
it looks like a cheek move, you know, to kind of let it loose, hopefully
like
silent.
Thank you, Cody. Thank you so much for that. Mm. But I hear that there is new information that has come to light, Mark.
Yeah, so this this mysterious farter, this from this thread, Aaron Burdett. Thank you for the research, Aaron Burdett. I'm going to go back. Sorry. Shoot, I lost it. But he apparently has other – a thread, as it were, of other people on MSNBC.
There you go.
That have farted. There
Cody's got it up there.
There we go. So if we go to
– I'm playing air horns for you, Cody.
The MSNBC farter.
All right. So the MSNBC farter – shows what, Cody? What are we looking at?
I don't know. It's a link that it goes to.
Yeah.
I did my job.
Yeah, you sure did, Cody. I'm going to find
Mark
this real
quick. Mark came in hot right now.
And
he was like, I have
hot.
New information. Scroll,
I did
scroll,
have new information.
Mark.
So what I'm going to do is but this. Here, if you go to his Twitter thread, Aaron Burdett, click on his profile, and then we can start to see some of the links that he's putting in video, if you will.
Ooh,
so here's
that one.
Here right, is Matthew's farting while asking a guest. Yeah, here, you found it.
Matthew's about to rip my ass from live TV.
What's
listen.
The penalty for this kind of case?
Here it comes.
So that really depends on how it's ultimately structured. If they were able to make some sort of attack.
There it was.
You hear that? Rip.
So is somebody at MSNBC playing a prank on these people?
Because I have to get Clark's opinion.
I'm sorry.
If you keep going what? Down, we have exhibit. Well, there's exhibit A, then there's exhibit B, and exhibit C. We were just on exhibit C.
They probably all sound very similar. So, Clark, what do you think?
Any goodwill that I have in the comments is about to disappear because I'm going to spoil this for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally a phone vibrating on a wooden table.
Aww.
It's totally that. or a leather chair.
But he did an oomph.
I think because if your phone vibrated on live television.
Right. Maybe he was scared.
Yeah.
Clark. As somebody who's farted her whole life, that sounded like a fart.
For the record, when I watched the video, Michaela Watkins tweeted it out, who's a really funny comic, and she was like, how old am I? Why am I giggling? Like, I'm watching this on repeat, just giggling like a crazy person. And I watched it, and I giggled too. I went, hee, hee, hee.
I watched this 5 times at 6 a.m. this morning.
It's funny, but also, it's not a fart. Aww. Like, it's totally not.
Can we go to exhibit B?
Okay, Mark, absolutely.
I'm sorry. I'm going to break this down.
Exhibit B of fart gate.
This is the important.
In the Southern District of New York court and said that when he pleaded guilty to these charges in the Southern District of New York.
Okay,
That was no vibrating phone right
that
there.
That is a fart for sure.
Here's
that is ripping ass 100%. Cody, as our fart noise expert, what are your thoughts?
That's a fart.
give me the name again. Swallow?
Swalwell.
Swalwell. Best thing that ever happened to his career. I think he should come out, whether he farted or not, he should come out and say he did it. And he should be loud and proud about it.
Do you have the link? Because he did – BuzzFeed News contacted him.
Yes, they sure
and
did.
And his official statement was pretty funny.
It was a coffee mug.
Yeah, or whatever it was. But it was – yeah. It was pretty funny.
So he dealt it and he denied it.
He's taking it in stride for sure.
You have to because if you don't, you'll shrivel up and die. So there's the only option is to face it head on.
But we all fart.
I do not, and you know that.
Roxy.
And so I'm jealous of. Oh my God!
Do you not fart ever?
You've heard me talk about this before. No.
Yeah.
Well,
she's
I heard
incapable.
You had stomach issues, but I didn't know you.
Horrible issues.
Right.
Yes. Nothing will come out. I have to go to the hospital all the time for it. I have really bad issues.
Wait, this hospital stuff is news to me.
The reason I have such a hard time listening to people fart is pure jealousy. I want it so bad for my life.
So you can't burp either?
No, but that's not for the same reason. I'm not a very good burper, though. If I have something really bubbly, usually I can get a little.
Oh, so you can't fart?
No.
That's
crazy. I don't remember the last time I farted. Years.
Damn.
Or maybe in my sleep, but not that I'm told of.
Wow.
They say that it has to do with stress and pressure or whatever. I don't effing know, but I keep it all inside, which is why I'm so gassy.
Or bloated or whatever.
Gassy. Yeah.
Well,
I
hope that for 2020, I wish you many farts.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Cody, let's turn those phone lines on. It seems like a good time to invite the people to talk with us. Mark, why? You're still trying to investigate?
Well, yeah, there's exhibit B, C, D that we got to get to.
So many exhibits.
There is one more exhibit we haven't gotten to.
Thank you.
And what is that, Cody?
Got this.
Got to play it. Give me a second, guys.
I'm just thinking in the interest of news and being fair and balanced.
Wow, what a critique. And with me now is Scott Arsenault. He's the executive director of the Florida Democratic Party. And Bob Schrum is a Democratic strategist. He's been through a lot of these races. Scott, just give me the skinny here. Can we get a clean, fair, honest election in Florida tomorrow?
It is jarring. It is jarring if you're on screen and you hear that.
You know, man, what a great representation for our political climate, Fartgate.
One time we were on, we were shooting DZ Daily, and one of the women was wearing high heels, and she, like, just scraped her foot, did something on the cement floor, and it 100% sounded like an enormous fart. And
while you were filming?
We were, I don't think we had started yet. We were in pre-pro. But it was really, really funny, but it also was absolutely a shoe.
This happens to me when I'm wearing – I wear leather pants a lot.
Yes.
And that's right. It happens with the leather pants all
same.
Of the time.
Yep.
But again, I wish. Joke's on you guys. I wish.
Well,
Cody,
I
let me
I
know
wish
when we have a
too.
Caller. Yeah. All right, caller, you're on Clyde Alive. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's me, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. What are you calling about today?
Actually, three interesting things. I'll just say that right now.
Okay.
One, well, sort of speaking of the sort of political stuff, but not really, though. It's just more of a movie news type of thing. But,
okay.
It's a Bob. Listen to this. You got Fatty Alvarez's next movie for Legendary Pictures and the horror movie's thriller. The premise is this. It's like The Shining vibes in the White House.
I like it.
I do, too.
I would see that. And
I'll give you one of your other three.
Oh, shoot.
So choose well.
Okay. Man, you put some pressure on me. Okay.
Well, it's not fair to the other callers.
All right. Fine. I'll do it real quick.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The second thing I want to tell you is, what do you talk about trailer two of Cats?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
before we
the
got
call.
A chance to see it.
Thanks, you, Jonathan.
I have not seen it.
You did text me, but I was not able to see it.
Right.
And
I did
watch
it.
That's devastating to me because I must. How was it?
Hilarious.
It's still Cats. We get a lot more story. lot more of the play. I've seen the play a number of times. So it's starting to come out. I was like, oh yeah, here's the play. James Corden really stood out to me as having a ball, but there's still
a hairball.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really walked into that one.
Yeah. It was perfect. So it's still looking like
still no air horn.
Still
I thought
Cats.
I thought about it.
Cody.
I almost hit it.
Still Cats. Still weird.
I mean, we're all going to see it.
Did you watch
good.
The second
yes,
trailer?
Yes, of course.
Oh, what did you think?
Oh,
wow, so Clark and I
crazy.
Really blew this one.
I'm so jealous that I haven't seen it yet because I got to tell you, that was the highlight of my Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I love how it hijacked Comic-Con.
Oh, my God. That trailer is
amazing.
Hilarious. Yes. I can't wait.
We should all go see it.
We
I
really
can't
should.
Wait.
What did you think of the second trailer?
It's the same. I still think it's freaking
it's
weird.
Phenomenal.
It's still the furry musical, and I can't wait to see it.
This movie comes out in like a month, and we just got
against Star Wars
the second
too.
Trailer.
Is it weird
is
to say
timing?
That yeah. I'm excited about to see the new Star Wars movie, but I'm more excited to see the new Cats movie?
Yeah. Yes. No, it's not weird to say. I think it makes perfect sense because you have no idea what this monstrosity is going to be.
Oh, I can't wait.
Cody, Cats. Did you see the second trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Tell
no,
me
I
what
didn't.
You really think, though. Good. Yeah, there we go.
Wait, Cody, do you like musicals?
No.
Does not surprise
not
me.
Oh, no. That's a lie. I do. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Tell me more.
Well, I thought about La La Land. I like that one.
Yeah,
I liked
that's a good one.
Team America.
Yeah.
South
yeah.
Park.
Those ones
South
are good.
Park. Bigger,
I think it depends
longer
on the content of the song.
So you're not a Josh McCuga. You don't hate all musicals just because they have the word musical.
No.
Okay. All right. Let us know when we have another call so that we can...
With the meow sound, please.
People have been really upset with me about these calls. Did you see this thread on our Facebook?
Oh, what
boy.
Did you
like,
do?
You're hanging up on people before you have the conversation. So to anybody who doesn't know, that we have audio things. And after I take the question, I get rid of the caller so that our audio is better again.
Correct.
I can't keep them around for the conversation. So
you're not just kicking them out.
Slow your roll. With Jonathan, I was kicking him out.
That means we have a call.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you meowing from?
Oh.
Hello. Hey, this is Dagan calling from Vermont.
Dagan
hey.
From Vermont.
Hey there.
That's my neck of the woods. What's going on today, Dagan? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah. I'm so glad I got through. I've been trying to call in for, like, weeks and weeks.
Me too, Dagan. Me too. It's a tough life, man.
I actually had a question for Roxy.
What do you got?
I've been going back and watching a bunch of old Friends episodes.
Yeah.
Word.
It's like, you know, maybe the best show ever. And
it's not.
No. It is. So, Dagan, you're a very smart person. Dagan, I love your soul.
Uh-huh, well, thank you. And my question was, I was wondering what you think the best episode is. I know that's might be a really hard question.
No, it's not hard for me, actually, and it's not original in any way, shape, or form, the finale. I think it's the best finale of all time. I think that the episode
really?
Is – I think it is – as perfect as a finale gets. And I love it. I love the way the show ends, which is why I do get concerned about touching the show again in any kind of way. But there are some great episodes. In a future episode of Collider Live that you guys will see the day before Thanksgiving, I talk about my favorite Thanksgiving episodes from Friends. They do a great job with that. And, I think there's so many, but the finale's my favorite. Not the best pilot.
I'm surprised by the answer. I wasn't expecting the finale.
I wasn't either. But what about – because my favorite episode is when they do like the Pictionary game for the apartments to switch apartments.
Yeah.
And one thing that
it's
I –
it's not exactly a Pictionary game, Mark.
Well, not Pictionary. What do you call it? Like charades or whatever the hell they are. It's
a Chandler
Bong.
They made up a transponder.
Chandler Bong and what do they call Monica
I know
in
what
hockey.
You're
That's just the best episode
for me.
It's
a great episode. What's your favorite so far?
I really like the Thanksgiving episode, so that's coming up. I just watched that one recently because – it's right around the corner. But I love the one where they play the football game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good
one. Yeah, football. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. You are not a Friends fan, or you just don't think it's the best show ever?
I don't think it's the best show ever.
And you don't like it, or you think it's fine?
I think it's fine.
That's exactly how I feel.
I've actually been rewatching it because I just took a multicam acting analysis class. Nice. So I've been rewatching a lot of multicams, like for all the way, like Mary Tyler Moore, but also Will and Grace and Friends. And
what is your favorite multicam that you've been rewatching?
I haven't gotten back into Cheers yet. Yeah. The one that I've been revisiting is Will and Grace.
So great.
Because it's like multicam to, perfect. Like, it's so theatrical and so crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's been really fun, like, rewatching a lot of those.
I love Will and Grace.
You both take acting classes, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a call.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you meowing from?
That works. Hi, this is Brianna, and I'm meowing from Covina, California.
Yeah, Brianna.
We're
so happy that you just called in.
I've been trying so long, and I finally did it.
Yay. Brianna, we're so proud of you. That's life. Try as hard as you can, and eventually it will work. What do you got for us
today?
And
maybe one day fart.
Oh, yes. Speaking of, not speaking of farts, but I just wanted to let you guys know, you guys are so funny. Every day you guys make me laugh. I love the chemistry. And now that I'm done gassing you up, let me get to the question.
Boom!
All right, I'll take it,
Nailed
Brianna.
It.
Thank you. She got it. Brianna got air horns.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Cody. All right, Brianna, what do you got for us?
Okay, so this weekend I was trying to show my friend Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
Mm. I think it's such a great movie.
Yes.
And she didn't like it. She said it was dumb, and she thought it wasn't funny. Mm. And I was just wondering if there's a movie that you really liked and you tried to show one of your friends and they didn't like it.
Brianna, great question.
That is
great
such
call.
A great
I really
question.
Appreciate you calling in.
Every single day of my life. All the movies I like. My friends don't like them.
Well, that is the risk. That is the risk in trying to share things you love is getting – when your yum is yucked – there's nothing worse than that. Clark, it seems like you have one or two, maybe a couple movies.
Well, first of all, I just tried to rewatch – I just rewatched Scott Pilgrim last year, actually. And I found it less charming than the first time I saw it.
Didn't hold up quite the same way?
Not for me. Although Brandon Routh is so funny in that movie.
Yes,
Chris Evans
and Brandon Routh
are
both like –
The whole cast is pretty great.
I mean, yeah. So – A couple of years ago, I suggested to our friend Holly Payne, who's one of my dear friends, I told her to watch That Thing You Do because she had never seen it. And we both love comedy. And I just find that movie so sharp and very witty, but also it's of such a fun time period.
It is.
I love that
great
movie.
Soundtrack.
She hated.
Wow. Did you say why?
She just thought it was grating and awful, and she had a very strong reaction to That Thing You Do, which I was like, did you want...
Did she watch the right movie?
I legitimately asked her. I was like, did you watch the director's cut or something? Because I had read on IMDb that there's a lot more footage that they cut. I don't know. But her reaction was shocking to me.
But the Oneaters. It's
I
such
know,
a good
that's
movie.
The thing. And like, so I can totally understand somebody watching it and being like, oh yeah, not for me.
Right.
But the strong reaction, what visceral. Blew my mind. Because it's so like... harmless.
I cannot wait to talk
you
to her about
to
it
because
that's
about
hilarious.
It. Yeah, it was so strange.
Mark, you got one?
Well, I tried to – it almost ended my relationship with my fiance when she hated The Big Lebowski. So
you know what?
That was rough.
That one took me a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it's still not my go-to Coen Brothers.
And I understand that, and I tried. But ever since I said, you know, you get it on kind of second and third viewings and start to kind of fill in. And you're like, oh, I didn't get that joke maybe the first time. She won't even watch it a second time.
I don't get it, though.
It's okay. The counseling helped us get through that moment. So
you're still engaged.
Yeah.
We're still engaged.
D, any specific ones other than Everyone You Ever Tried?
Every single sci-fi movie I love, even classics. Like, I've taken people to see 2001 on the big screen, and they're like, it was fine. And I'm like,
but
it's not fine. It's a work of art.
Yeah, that one's
come
hard.
On.
But 2001 is very heady, so it can
all my favorite movies are heady,
though. Well, Blade Runner, I can understand a lot of people not digging on the Blade Runner.
Cody? I just love all the existential sci-fi.
Any for you, Cody?
Yeah, I showed my wife Happy Gilmore. And she passed out in the first 20 minutes.
She was tired.
Yeah.
It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Was she pregnant?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
About
so no excuses.
4 or 5 years ago.
Let's keep trying to make excuses for her now.
Really quick, I want to plug a couple of things before we take another call.
Absolutely.
Our friend and awesome person ever, Mark Ellis. His comedy special was released today.
Yeah.
Doc Stepfather. So you can catch it. I'm not sure exactly what the outlet is.
Cody, do you know where
on the internet?
YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube.
There's
okay.
a link in the description of this show.
Amazing.
There
thank
it is.
You. I was at the taping of this special.
We both were.
And so was Darina. And it was so funny. Yes. I cannot wait to watch it again, though. And just ridiculously proud of him for deciding he was going to do this and then just doing it. It seems a lot easier. It's a lot easier said than done. And for the people at home who are like, well, of course, that's what you do. You just tape it.
Right.
So much went into this.
Yeah.
And it there was, as we talked about on this show, there were a lot of complications the night of. And there was things that could have gone horribly wrong that he played through. And he just set his mind to the fact that he was doing this. And he wanted you guys to be able to see it. So I think that's incredible. And I'm obsessed with Ellis always. But right now, I'm particularly proud of him.
Yes, same. I'm very happy because this finally came out. And also, shout out to Cody, Christian, everyone who was there actually producing, helping shoot this special. So great job, guys. Great job, Cody.
Thanks.
Air horns for Cody, I guess.
I feel weird giving myself an air horn.
Well, you should give yourself an air horn, though, because my second plug was going to be the fact that you are the new host of Rumor Mill. There it is.
Cody,
thank you. Thank you so much.
How's that going, Cody?
We only did one episode so far. It was last Wednesday. It was a lot of fun.
And you survived.
I survived. I didn't think I was going to.
So that's a win.
We laughed a lot. Yeah.
You were great, dude.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You were good. You also lost, but you were great on the show.
No, I'm going to continue my streak on Rumor Mill, it seems, losing every time.
Are you doing another one tomorrow, Cody?
Yeah.
Who's coming on?
We got Jeff, who's on every week. Christian Rubalcaba won last week, so he's going to be on. And then I think John Rocha is going to get in.
Nice.
One of my favorite things that Snyder just shoehorned his way into being on every week.
I know.
It makes sense, though. That's such a Snyder show.
He just didn't want to leave it.
Well, he's got the scoops.
Yeah, that's true.
So he can change those scoops to be rumors? We never know.
Half of them are very real, and half of them are... very not.
Yeah.
Very correct. Not. He's convinced me of some crazy things that I go around telling people, and then they're like, that's not happening.
Right.
I'm like, oh, Jeff Snyder did that one. That's a Jeff Snyder fooled me again. Yeah. Cody, I'm really happy for you as well. Congratulations on that. You are very welcome. Let's take one last call before we get out of here.
Oh, there it is.
Caller on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you meowing from?
Hola, guys. Mario from Puerto Rico. How you guys doing?
Hey, Puerto Rico. What are you calling about today?
One of the greatest things about Disney Plus is that it gave us, it gave me one of the greatest animated shows ever. That is Gargoyles.
Yes.
I was thinking, what are one of your childhood cartoons that you guys want to see, like, in live action, maybe in a series or in a movie or something like that? And so, if so, do you think that Disney can do, like, a live action type of Gargoyles?
Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that.
That's fine. I want Gargoyles so much.
You want
much.
A live action
Live
Gargoyles.
Action would be awesome. Yes. I grew up, I love Gargoyles.
Oh, yeah. Even just the theme song, the beginning credits, everything.
It
that
has
cartoon's
a little bit
so
of Batman
perfect.
Theme in it. It feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up with that in like the Disney Afternoon, but I don't know how you could make a live action Darkwing Duck, even
right.
though. I mean, you could, but it would be like weird, creepy, furry CG stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Like Sonic?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I want to see Darkwing Duck live action. So,
Clark, how are you feeling? Anything that you would love to see live action?
The first thing that came to mind actually was David the Gnome. Do y'all remember David the Gnome?
I do not remember David. Was he blue?
It was on Nickelodeon, and it was a show that came from Europe and actually has a very traumatic, horrible last episode. And this is totally a show for kids.
Oh, I remember this.
But it's called The World of David the Gnome. It looks like 1985, so Nickelodeon probably bought it, you know, and reran it. But it was a weird fantasy show, and I like weird fantasy shows.
That does look weird. I'm going to have to rewatch that.
You should totally watch it.
Definitely.
Because, yeah.
I don't know. I watched offbeat things. I watched, like, My Little Pony and Rainbow Bright and I'm trying to think, like, Dexter's Lab.
Oh, yeah, Dexter's Lab.
Cartoon Network's always great.
Care Bears, I owned all of them.
Okay.
Pink Bear was the first bear I was given when I was born. Mm-hmm. And my friend Mandy sold it in a garage sale in fourth grade when I slept over and left it there and we got in a fight.
Oh, no.
So I have a lot of crappy feelings about Care Bears.
So you're no longer friends with Mandy.
I'm really not friends with Mandy after that.
That was very upsetting.
Yes. She sold it for $1.
Have you thought about putting her on blast on Twitter?
I will say that she seems like a lovely person now. I do follow her on social media. She seems given her life to charity. So, like, good for you, Mandy. And hopefully mine was the last poor action that you did. Cody, any animated things that you want to see live action?
Courage the Cowardly Dog. You guys remember that show?
Mm-mm.
I related to him too much.
Why, Cody?
Because he's a coward, Darina.
You're not a coward.
I'm just whatever.
What if they did a cat dog live action?
Oh, yeah.
Creepy.
Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold was great.
Hey Arnold just got a movie.
Nickelodeon's Monsters.
Oh yeah, All Real Monsters. That show was a little gross for me though.
Yeah. It was a little gross for me too. But I kinda liked it. I did a little bit of watching this.
It was so gross. I loved it.
So many great ones. So little time. Just kidding. We have all the time in the world. We're not going anywhere. Get used to it. Mm. All right, that's it for Collider Live today, guys.
That was only for you because you hosted the show so long.
Did you guys hear that?
I could tell you that was coming
you finally
a mile
got it,
away.
Roxy.
Did you text him to do it?
No, I didn't.
Cody,
I just know. I feel like I know Cody enough that this was a setup for the last thing for planned all along. Exactly. That's why Cody's the best.
You have made Roxy's day, Cody. Well done.
You absolutely have. Dee, where can everybody keep up with you?
I am on the internet. It's on Twitter, @EvilDarina, on Instagram, not Facebook.
You are on Facebook,
yeah, but
though.
I don't do anything
like
on it.
Yeah. All right. Mark Riley.
@RileyAround on Twitter. So find me there.
Clark, all the places.
@ClarkWolf. Clark with an E. Wolf with an E.
Cody Hall. At Cody Hall?
At the real Cody Hall.
The real Cody Hall. There's all the posers. I forgot about
them. So many fake Codys.
I'm everywhere @RoxysDryer, and we'll see you guys tomorrow for Collider Live.
Bye.
Napa know-how. This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect gift or addition to a small gathering. The Home Bar makes over 30 drinks from cosmopolitans to old fashions at the push of a button. Just insert the pod, press start, and enjoy. Each DrinkWorks pod contains real ingredients and premium spirits. For a limited time, get $50 off the Home Bar with promo code PLAY. Go to DrinkWorks.com to order now. DrinkWorks, press play. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain, Inc., used under license. Please enjoy responsibly.